Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me, please? I haven't talked to the Dorflingers, but I'd like the youth to be up here this morning, if you would. The rest of you, we'd like to dismiss you to Sunday school. We're grateful for our Sunday school teachers. Amen, amen. I'd like to turn your attention to Daniel, the third chapter. Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 15. Now, if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Who is that God? I'm glad I know who that God is this morning. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's something about those three names that just make you want to sing, you know? Answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. To answer thee in this manner, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, little g, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Bold words. Obviously, some who have faith and principles, I'm not going to be moved, I don't care what you say. We have to be that bold in this world because the world is saying one thing and God is saying another thing. And we're saying, I don't care what you say, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. And then if you go to 1 Samuel, chapter 17, 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I can see this young boy, tenacious, saying, you're not taking my lamb. He truly had a pastor's heart. You're not going to take my lamb. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. I can see him ripping the lamb out of the mouth of the lion. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Hallelujah. Jesus, we ask your blessing, your touch upon the word of God this morning. Without your anointing, we have nothing. We don't need opinions or words of men's thoughts, but we need words that come from heaven. Bless as only you can, anoint as only you can, not only this sacred desk, but every person in every pew. It's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This is graduation time for schools across America. There are colleges and high schools that are having commencement services for their graduates, and it's a special time. These young people have dedicated and persevered and studied, and now they get to the place where someone hands them a sheepskin or at least a piece of paper that says, you are qualified in order to go out in the world and fend for yourself. And it's a precarious time of their life because they're still not sure what they're going to do or what they're going to accomplish or what is expected of them. And so we applaud all of those who are in this congregation who have graduated from high school or college. In fact, if there's any graduates here, would you stand up quickly? They're all in school yet, I guess. Hallelujah. All right, stand up. We're grateful for your accomplishments. We applaud you for your achievements in higher education. I've seen excerpts of speeches given at graduation ceremonies over the last couple of weeks from famous people and well-accomplished men and women who are invited to these very stately colleges in order to give them a word in order to encourage them to go out and do their very best. My favorite was of President George W. Bush, who said, I commend you, graduates who are at the top of your class. Your future is bright. There are no limits to what you could accomplish. But what I'd like to say to all of you C students is, you too could be president. Sometimes we think only the top of the class, only the well-qualified, only the most intelligent can do great things. But it's not so much about the intellect as it is the perseverance and determination of what you really want to do, your focus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My grandson, Charter, graduated from eighth grade Wednesday, and he really loves school. He really does well. And I said to him on Friday when I got home, I said, you know, is there really a need for you to go on to high school? I mean, you can read and you can write. You probably balance a checkbook. You know, you have a lawnmower. You could find yourself a job in the neighborhood. And so that's probably not the best advice I could give him as a pastor, and he probably won't need to balance his checkbook if he doesn't go on to high school because he won't have any money anyway. But let's think about it in terms of the church. Our graduation as a saint comes when we're baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and we feel empowered, and we feel like now we're qualified in order to go out into the world and accomplish something for God. Great expectations. It doesn't matter what your past is, because as far as God is concerned, you don't have a past. He not only forgives you, but he forgets, and you don't have to bring your baggage of all of the things that have happened before you. What if you graduated from college, got a degree in business administration, or maybe even a law degree, and then you just sat around at home and never used what you have learned or what you have accomplished, never accomplished what all of your hard work and perseverance produced? Could the same be true for us who have been empowered by the Spirit of God after we receive our BA or are born again and then do absolutely nothing with what we have been given? But just gather ourselves together and look at our graduation certificates. Back off, Pastor. You're getting personal now. You're expecting me to do something. Yes, God is expecting us to do something with what he has already given us. This is not just to make us feel good on a Sunday morning. It's so others could feel good. We have a purpose. Some years ago, I spoke at a Bible school graduation in Nigeria, and it has really changed my life. I have a picture on my credenza in my office of the 14 men and women who graduated from this Bible school. They sacrificed everything in order to be a part of this Bible school to qualify them to do something. And I remember preaching a message on anointing that, you know, you can have all of the intellect, you can even have all of the stories in this book memorized, but if you do not have a strong anointing of God, you're just going to go forth and go through the motions. We need the power of God and the anointing that doesn't come with just book learning, but it comes from living a life that is pleasing to God. You know, the Pharisees, they counted every letter. They studied, but they never applied it to their lives at all. We could get to that place where we hear message after message after message, but it never is applied, and we don't get excited enough in order to deliver what God has given us. Several of those graduates had families that lived many miles away, being separated from them for months at a time. Their intent was not just to get a graduation certificate or a license to be able to preach the gospel, but each of them went back into their own communities, many of them hundreds of miles away, in order to start a church. It was their main goal. It was their end run. It was a thing that they really wanted to accomplish. What can I do for God? I have to have the information. But if I live the life, there is going to be fruit that is going to come out of my ministry. And I heard the missionary say a year later that several had already had churches of over 100 people. Jesus gave the greatest commencement speech ever recorded. He addressed those who were about to graduate in 10 days. He said in Acts 1 and 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Folks, you graduate and you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what kind of job you don't know where you're going to end up. And God's saying, don't worry about it. I'm going to give you the authority, but you don't know where I'm going to send you or what you're going to do or how much you're going to accomplish. And that's true for our graduates. But he goes on to say, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all of Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. It's his commencement speech to all those who would be graduating in just a short time. He couldn't be there in person, but he was there in spirit. Church, it is graduation time for each and every one of us. We can no longer just feel good that we graduated with honors. We can no longer just feel good that we have had our ticket punched and we're ready for the rapture. We must use our degree. The student must become the teacher at one point. We no longer can just get the milk of the word, but we have to get the meat. And then when you get the little revelations that we get from time to time, God has put it in our heart in order to bring those facts to other people, because God has given us a ministry of reconciliation, putting the hand of God in the hand of those that are around us. The apostles were in Bible school for 3.5 years under Professor Jesus. There were pop quizzes that were given all during the time that they were with Jesus. He'd ask them little questions like, whom do men say that I, the man of God, am? In Matthew 16 and 13, in their mind, they could be thinking, did we cover this in class last week? Because I don't remember the professor going over that. And you know, I hope they're grading it on a curve, because only 1 out of 12 got the answer right. And Peter said, thou art the Christ. Hallelujah. Have you passed the pop quiz? We know that Jesus is the mighty God. We know that the name of God is Jesus. You are God. Hallelujah. And the church was built on this pop quiz. This church was built on the graduate getting the right answer. And then he handed him the diploma and he said, you have the keys to the kingdom. You're going to open doors and shut doors and nobody else can, because you're the graduate. You understand that each of us are graduates of the school, the apostolic school. Okay, Now that we have been supplied with all of the right answers, week after week, you're giving the right answers. What are we going to do with it? Let's see. What did the apostles do with it? What did they do? Did they always get everything right? I mean, there are some people who are waiting until they have completely memorized the entire Bible and have some kind of certificate in their pocket saying that they're a licensed minister. And for many of you, it's never going to happen. Because, you know, I think the most effective, they say that 80% of the visitors that come into the church come in with new converts who know the least amount of Scripture. And I love Scripture, and I love what is happening with our young people. But you understand, they have the zeal and the anointing. They have the excitement without the information, but it seems like it's the anointing that makes the difference. Hallelujah. It was just days after I got the Holy Ghost. I remember sitting in a restaurant with my sister at lunch, and I didn't know much of Scripture. I knew Acts 2 and 38, John 3 and 5, but I remember sitting in that restaurant and the tears just streaming down my face because I knew the love of God, and I just wanted her to have what I have, the experience. And every one of us have graduated and been given that power. Would you turn to Matthew, the 10th chapter? Matthew 10, verse number 1, it says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases." Do you realize that power was given to them even before they were filled with the Holy Ghost? Verse number 5 says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purse, nor scrip or information. For your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." So the disciples get their diploma, and they have the authority that Jesus gives them at that somewhat of a commencement. And now they are in this place where they can use what God has given them. Turn to chapter 17 and verse number 14. "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Here's their opportunity after graduation in order to do what God said they could do. You said we could do. Well, why isn't it happening here? Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto the mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth out, but by prayer and fasting. So you get the idea that God has given the authority. He has given this church authority. He has. And sometimes we pray for things, but sometimes it takes more than just a little prayer. Maybe it takes a little more prayer. Maybe it takes a little more fasting. Maybe a little more dedication in order to see the things that we really want to see within our church, because we are well qualified. We have passed all the tests. We've been baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. We expect miracles to come because he said they would. No one becomes a success 1 week after graduation. No one. You have credentials, and you may have credentials, but the question is, where is the success? It's called experience. I wrestled a lion, I wrestled a bear, and I know if I can do that, I can do this. So many of us have, like I said last week, a testimony of the greatness of what God has done for us. We need to go back to the memorials in our life and say, you know, God, if you did this for me back then, why can I not see this happen today? Because we have to have belief. There has to be faith, or nothing is going to happen. If you have the power and the experience, the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Soon the very shadow of Peter, it wasn't long after graduation, soon the very shadow of Peter fell on those that are sick, and they were healed, because now he was using the power and the authority that was given. In the middle of the night, a mother heard a loud sound from her son's room on the second floor, and she thought something happened. She ran up the stairs and found her son. He was only 4 years old. He was laying on the floor, and she says, What happened? What's the matter? And here's what he said. I stayed in too close to the edge, and I fell out. Could that happen to us? We could fall out of church because we stayed too close to the edge where we got in. Somehow we need to get further into the church. We need to be more established in the Word of God and involved in God's kingdom. We must advance to see greater miracles. John 1 and 12 says, But as many as received him, to them gave he power. We each decide at what level we're going to be with God. Qualifications, we've got them. Graduation, we got them. Now the question is, at what level will we serve God? There could be some people in this church for 20 years and still be in grade school. And some who have been in the church for a short period of time and are in advanced revelation. It all depends on the individual. Where do you want to stay? And the further you get, the more possibilities that you have. Oh, it would be easier just to walk away from eighth grade and get some menial job. It would be easy just to say high school's enough. But for those who want to advance to a higher level of living, you're going to have to make a few more sacrifices and be a little more determined in your life. The same is true within the church. We can be satisfied that we got the diploma. Is this too hard for you this morning? Some may have much scriptural knowledge and still never advanced because they didn't rely on the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful for the gifts of the Spirit in operation in the church, Brother Bear. Thank you for your sensitivity this morning, because I need God to talk to me. You need God to talk to you. But sometimes you couldn't do what we do here based on our information level or our intellect. It has to be by an anointing or unction of God. And some of you, you understand this, that God may only give you one or two words, and then God's saying, are you going to rely on your ability, or are you going to say the words I give you so I can give you more words? The same is true for any of you who have ever stood behind this pulpit. You know, I said to my wife on the way over here, how is it after preaching for 30 years, I'm still nervous about bringing forth the Word of God? And she said, it's because you want God to have His holy way. It can never be us. It can never be my message. It's got to be God's message. I was sitting at the table at lunch yesterday morning, and my wife says, do you have something? You know, that's the question a lot of times. Do you have something? Because I'm not just going to go someplace. And I said, all the have is the word graduation. And she said, that's exactly what God has said to me. It's so incredible. And so, you know, there's going to be another graduation one day. It's going to be on streets of gold. Some are going to be rewarded tenfold, and some 30-fold, and some 100-fold. Those with doctorates and, you know, master's degrees, those who involve themselves in the work of God, it's going to last for eternity. Those things are going to follow us for eternity. And I told those young men and women in Nigeria, you know, I'm glad you're going to Bible school, but you're going to see a move of God, not based on the stories that you can bring forth to other people, but the anointing and the demonstration of God in your life. I would rather have somebody stand in front of me with tears streaming down their face saying, I love God so much, than somebody who is sticking their finger in my face saying, you've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Well, yeah, I know that, but it's got to be in love, folks. Right. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter? In fact, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, starting in verse 21. It says, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, that he's talking to you, he's talking to me, he's talking to every one of us who have had this Pentecostal experience. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I look at those who are used in the gifts of the Spirit, and I admire them. However, you know, when the mailman comes and brings a nice package to my house, you know, I'm never thankful to the mailman. I'm thankful for whoever sent the package. And whenever we get to the place where God allows any kind of revelation, any kind of message that affects our life, it's not about the messenger. It's all about God who allows it to go forth into the congregation. Verse 1 of that second chapter says, and I, brethren, Paul, he's talking, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God, help us always to rely on the presence of your Spirit and the power of God that moves in here, not on our programs, not on our intellect, not on, well, who's coming to preach a message. Because God doesn't come in the suitcase of an evangelist. Now, in our scripture text, we read about David when he was just a boy. I wonder sometimes if he was more than 15 years old. A boy who killed a lion and a bear. God was building his confidence one experience at a time. And when we are young in the Lord, you know, God builds our confidence one miracle, one experience at a time. So when the time comes for us to do something outstanding for God, we're not going to hesitate. Hey, I saw what God has done in my life. David caught a lion by the beard. I can just see him grab that lion by the beard, rip the lamb out of his mouth, and then punch him in the nose. And a little tenacious, a little wild, possessive. You know, as a pastor, I'm possessive. You know, I care about each and every individual that's in the church. I become a little tenacious about that. That is not a bad attribute. That's a good attribute. This is just not a social area. This is something that is serious because we all need to make it to heaven. And now it's time to go on to bigger and badder things. Bring on the Philistine. Bring on the giant. Bring on Goliath. And I don't need, you know, your armor, Saul. I don't need your sword, Saul. I'll use what I've got with an anointing. If I could take a lion, if I could take a bear, I can take this filthy Philistine who doesn't care about God at all. In Daniel 3, we read about three young men, boys really. I'm talking about graduation here. I'm talking about young men and women who are going to do great exploits for God. Some of them have been standing up in front of us. They're going to be pastors and evangelists and pastors' wives and do great exploits. And the calling is going to be on their life as children, and they're going to see some great things happening when they're just lads in the house of the Lord, like Samuel. And these three young boys, probably not any more than 15, yanked out of their own home, renamed by the king, who would not fall down and worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not only did they have principles, but they have a faith in God that could not be shaken. They said to the king, "We are not careful to answer thee this matter." You're not shaking me with your words. I said to somebody some time ago, I said, you don't see it on the outside, but on the inside, I'm really shaking because of what you said. You know, that was facetious, folks. But we get to the place where these little things scare us. You have authority? Jesus said, "Hey, listen, Pilate, it's not up to you whether I die on a cross. It's up to me. Amen. You can't take my life. Amen. You can't take this church. You can't take my health. You can't take my job. Everything that happens to me has to pass through the desk of the Lord Jesus Christ because all things work together for good." Hallelujah. He said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve," is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. But if not, I love that. But if not, if it doesn't happen that way, you know, God is in charge. Be it known unto thee, King, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Determined, this is a test. What I see today is situation ethics. I see it. We're just entering into a whole season of campaigning and assassinations of character, and I'm better than somebody else, and I'm sick of it already, you know. But that should not happen in the church, where we try to assassinate somebody else, because the Lord will keep you accountable. Thank God for the fourth man in the furnace. Hey, didn't we just throw three in the furnace? Well, where's the fourth one that looks like the Son of God? I know that God just loves a good challenge. But if not, whoa, that gets God all excited. When we say, our God can do that, when we're at in a gathering and somebody's back is out, and we say, you know what, I've got a God who can touch your back right now. God gets all revved up about that. You know what? I have to perform because he believes, she believes. Our God is always with us in the fiery furnace because of our principles and because of our faith. Church, it's graduation day for this generation. It's not just the last generation that took on and said, hey, we're going to accomplish more than the generation before us, but it's this generation has got to catch the vision of what is going to happen in the future. I believe it's the last generation. I believe that Jesus is getting ready to blow the trumpet, and we're going to go up, but I'll tell you what, there may be one more generation that God wants to really do something great. We have young men and women in our church who will stand up for godly principles, even if everyone else will bow down and conform to the rest of the world and what they say is normal. I thank God for our youth that will stand out in camp in more ways than one. A lot of our great patriarchs are passing away. And just in the last couple of years, the men that I've looked up to for years and years are no longer on the scene anymore. Brother James Kilgore, a great man. Texas built one of the largest churches, and C.M. Becton, an awesome man. Brother Nathaniel Urshan, Brother Chambers, who have both been our general superintendents. Billy Cole, who has been probably the greatest prophet that we've ever seen, seeing thousands and thousands of people filled with the Holy Ghost, miracles in the thousands happened in his campaigns. Will there be young people to take their place? Or will they compromise? Will they bow down to some things that the last generation would never bow down to? Oh, Pastor, we don't have to do that anymore. It's not necessary. Well, if you want to see great things happen. Years ago, a young boy cut his leg, and it came infected. And the infection started to grow and grow, and it was painful. And the doctor was called to the home, and it was turning blue and green, and there wasn't any feeling, and there was a lot of pain. And the doctor says, you know, we've waited almost too long. We need to take this leg off, or you're going to die. And the young boy is probably 14 years old. He said, you're not taking my leg off. And the doctor said, well, I think you're making a bad decision. The parents pleaded with the boy, please, we want to see you around. And after the doctor left, he said to his brother, Ed, he said, Ed, if I lose consciousness, if I go into delirium, don't let him. Don't let him cut my leg off. And it got worse and worse, and he finally went into unconsciousness, and the family decided that they were going to pray. And they had all of the family and the relatives come, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And all of a sudden, something started to take place. Feeling came in the leg. The boy came out of unconsciousness, and the swelling went down. And by the time the doctor came, he said, "I don't know what happened here, but you're fine. We don't have to touch your leg." That young boy later became a 5-star general, paraded through Europe and stopped Hitler. His name was President Dwight D. Eisenhower. Someone has to stand guard, because there's a great moral sickness in the world today. And I'll tell you, someone has to stand guard that we are not cut off from the vital truths. The world is saying, cut off the message of the mighty God in Christ. It'll be easier for you to build a church. Cut off the message of holiness and separation and walls. It'll be better that way. The world is saying, don't talk about the evidence of speaking in other tongues as you receive the Holy Ghost. Don't talk about sanctification. They want to cut it off. But you know what? We'll never be the church that God wants us to be if we cut off a little bit at a time. Eventually, we won't be worth much of anything. And that's not going to happen on my watch. We will preach this one God message. We will preach this baptism in Jesus' name message. We will preach we'll preach the message that saves us and the message that preserves us. And I don't know if one is even greater than the other, because the message of preservation is just as important as the message of salvation. It was not meant to end at one generation, but it was to all those who are afar off, even as many as shall be called. It's graduation time for this generation to guard over what saved us, to guard over what will keep us saved. Because if we let down, even though we have the qualifications, even though we have been given the power, even though we've been given the credentials of the one true goddess, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, we have the message. If the musicians would come, if you would turn to our last scripture in Matthew 25. Verse number 14. You know, we have a lot of teaching from Paul and a lot of teaching in the epistles, but there's something about the red words in my Bible. Verse number 14, Jesus says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and another 2, and the other 1, to every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he gave also, gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid and his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord." You notice that we enter into joy when we are duplicating ourselves in somebody else. Nothing gives me greater joy or excitement when I have an opportunity to talk to somebody about God. That's why these Bible studies that I teach, and I will continue to teach Bible studies, I get more value out of that than preaching to an entire congregation, because it's the front lines, folks. He also had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that in thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanger, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away every, or even that which he hath. I'm afraid, church, that, you know, if I'm inactive, if I'm not responsive, if I do not use what God has given me, he's going to take my joy away. He's going to take my longing to be in his word and be in his house. But as long as I'm trying to produce, and we don't all produce at the same level, but I want him to say, well done, one day. But he's not going to say, well done to me if I haven't done well. I want the joy of the Lord in my life. It's a thing that sustains us. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and the joy of the Lord comes from graduation and then accomplishing something for my God. Hallelujah. I don't want to stay at a level plane. And I know sometimes messages like this cause us to, well, cringe back. Why can't I just hold on until Jesus comes? Because I don't know if we can hold on until Jesus comes. We need to be busy. We need to be doing something for God. Hallelujah. This next year, folks, some great things are going to be happening in this church. I'm telling you, God has not only been speaking to us as a congregation, God's been speaking to me about what is going to be happening within the next 12 months in this church. Brother Arcovio spoke things to me when he was here that I can't even present to you, but you're going to see some incredible things, but it's not going to be because we're resting on our 1 talent or bearing it. It's because we're going to do something for our God. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you love him this morning? Yeah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? I believe with all of my heart there's some young people in this congregation that God is preparing to do some great things, great things. Amen. And some of us old geezers, God's going to do some great things as well. It's not over until it's over. Amen. And God wants to use every one of us. You see, I can reach some people that you can't reach, and you can reach some people that I can't reach. We all have a certain feel that God has put us in. Glory to God. Sister Painter told me about that this morning on the job and how awesome God is dealing with those that are around her. Look for opportunities, will you? Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?